Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship in the name of Jesus. Especially good to welcome any visitors with us this morning, and it's good to be able to welcome back Hillary. So, but good to see you all. It's wonderful. Right. Okay, we're back in the hall, as you can see, as a one-off, so we can more easily hold our special church meeting afterwards. But I did also want us to be back here again, so we can appreciate the great efforts that have been put into the redecorating the hall. You can probably still smell the paint, just about. But it looks great, doesn't it? I'm sure you agree with me. I'd like to invite all those who took part in redecorating to stand up now. All sorts of different jobs were done, and it took quite a while, actually, as you can imagine. All those who took, yeah, brilliant, excellent. I'd like us to get all joined together in a round of applause. That's a wonderful job. Thank you. Okay, excellent. Right, if you'd like to sit down. Special thank you to Margaret, who organised this team of people over a week, in effect, during the Easter break. So that's wonderful. Let's welcome our Zoomers this morning. Let's welcome our Zoomers. We've got Teen, and we have Pat and Norman. Have the faithful regulars, and we might be joined by some others as well. But good to see you, able to join us this morning. Our call to worship this morning is from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And it's not one that will be up on the screen. It's just one that I've chosen for this morning. 15 and 16, this is. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That, if you like, is a picture of what we see here with the redecoration effort of the hall. We are called to be God's people. Our opening hymn, let's stand and sing. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your calling upon our lives, upon each one of us, and upon our world. Lord, help us to respond to what you are saying to us. Lord, we thank you for your desire to meet with us and to speak to us, each personally. And we pray, Lord, that we will be open to what you might be saying to us this day and in the coming days. Lord, help us to have the courage that we need to respond to your call, just as we've been singing. Help us to know that you are here by your Holy Spirit, now and always, that you dwell within us. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we come before you very conscious of the needs of our world, the needs of our communities, and our own needs as well. And we bring these to you too at this time. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Amen.
So, Riley, how was the first day of school? Fine, I guess. Did you guys pick up on that?
Sure.
Yeah, well. Something's wrong. Signal the husband.
She's looking at us. What did she say?
Oh, sorry, sir. No one was listening.
Is it garbage night? We left the toilet seat up.
What is it, woman? What?
I'm Joy. This is sadness. That's anger.
What?
This is disgust. And that's fear. Fear of Riley's emotion. These are Riley's memories. They're mostly happy, you'll notice, not red.
Can Linda maybe hold one?
What happened? Sadness?
She did something to the memory.
Is everything okay?
Take it back, George.
It's great. George, no, wait.
Can I say that curse word now?
What do we do now? We have a major problem.
Oh, I wish Joy was here.
We can fix this. We just have to get back to headquarters.
That's long-term memory. You could get lost in there.
Think positive.
Okay. I'm positive you will get lost in there.
What's that?
Was it a bear?
There's no bears in San Francisco.
I saw a really hairy guy. He looked like a bear.
This place is huge.
Imagination Land?
No, what?
Dream Productions?
Rainbow Unicorns, right there.
I loved you in Fairy Dream Adventure Part 7. Okay, bye. I love you.
We can't focus on what's going wrong. There's only going to turn things around.
Congratulations, San Francisco. Give her on peace.
Hope you all remember Inside Out. Very amusing as it is. It's nearly 10 years since it came out, and the good news is Inside Out 2 is in June, by the way, in June. So, yes, there's extra emotion.
So anxiety, embarrassment, envy to add to the mix. Am I selling the film to you? Anyway, it's always fun to watch the antics of those cartoon emotions. But both Inside Out 1 and 2 are about this, the importance of understanding what we're feeling and why we're feeling what we're feeling. Now, I've been looking at the book the prophet Habakkuk in the last couple of weeks. Yes, Habakkuk is his real name. It's a funny name, isn't it? That's right, yes. But thankfully, we forget to finish the book of Habakkuk today. It's a very emotional and disturbing book, difficult to read, full of lots of highs and lows, mostly lows. And as in the film Inside Out, Habakkuk doesn't always feel joyful. In fact, he spends quite a bit of time feeling sad and fearful and angry too about what is going on in his world. But despite all that he goes through, at the end of his book, Habakkuk writes this: Nothing seems to be going right at the moment, yet I will be joyful, because God is my strength. It is God who helps me day by day. Thanks be to God for the good news of Jesus. I think Andre might need this this stand now. Actually, while he comes and sings, we're going to sing a couple of songs. Blessed be your name and the goodness of God as we rejoice in God's goodness.
Це не добре, воно може перескочувати, це не добре.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, through thy walk, through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, you turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, through the sign in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, you turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name.
Praise the Lord, yeah.
I've just been reminded, myself, I forgot to say that Youth Church probably needs to go out at this point a bit earlier so you can watch the whole of Youth Alpha during your time out. So we will be praying for you later in the service. But if Jill and Shami can go out with Youth Church now, that'd be wonderful. Thank you.
Love you, Lord. All your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head oh, I will see all the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will see all the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In my darkest night, you were close like no other. I know you as a father. I know you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will see all the goodness of God. Your goodness is running out, it's running after me. Your goodness is running out, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, is running after me. Your goodness is running after, is running after me. Your goodness is running after, is running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running out, is running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will see all the goodness of God. Oh, I will see all the goodness of God. Oh, I will see all the goodness of God.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Irina, Andre, all our musicians. We're kind of conscious that this week's been a tough week for you as a family, so we have been praying for you, with David having to go to hospital, but now he's home, so we're glad to hear he's getting a bit better, but we'll continue to pray for you. Yes, as a family. So let's continue our worship as we take up our morning offering now. Please stand. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your goodness to us and all creation, yesterday, today, and forever. We bring these gifts along with gifts given in other ways to express our thankfulness. May your name be glorified here this morning, and as the children and young people meet in their groups now as well. May your name be glorified throughout the earth, this day and always. Amen. Some notices now. Just to say that there is a special church meeting straight after. Well, I'll say straight after. There is. It will be a chance to grab some a drink and some sandwiches as well. If you're not able to stay, we understand if you have to go. But there will be a meeting, hopefully starting before 12 and finishing by 1 o'clock at the absolute latest. So a special church meeting. That's for all. Everyone's welcome to come and join us because we're talking about the vision and mission of our church. So it'd be great if you could come and join us for that. Straight after our worship this morning. Two other notices. Prayers have been asked for John Savage, Margaret Savage's husband. He's just fallen out of bed this morning, bless him, and may have cracked a rib. So do pray for John and Margaret at this time. And we will be praying for other people later on in our service as well. Also to mention, last Sunday I mentioned this Chiltern Summer Walk that we're hoping to do, a fundraising walk. We've had to change the date from the 13th of July, I gave out originally, advance notice, to the 6th of July. There's a very good reason for that, but 6th of July now, the Chiltern Summer Walk, and we need as many people as possible to help out and join in with that to raise money for Children's Youth and Families work. But there we go. Okay, so 6th of July, but to put that in your diary. Okay, I think we've got over to our first reading now, actually, so that's reading from Habakkuk. Chapter 3. So over to Aki now. Thank you.
Hello. So our first reading is from Habakkuk chapter 3. And we're reading from verses 1 to 10. And if you're in the church Bibles, it's page 942. So Habakkuk 3. A prayer from Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. Lord, I have heard your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sun rays. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. But he marches on forever. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode your horses and your chariots to victory? You uncovered your bow and you called for many arrows. You split the earth with the rivers, the mountains you saw and writhed. Torrents of water swept by, the deep roared and lifted its waves on high. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Aki. I'd completely forgotten there's a virtually unpronounceable Hebrew word, which is probably a musical instrument right at the beginning of that reading, so well done for attempting that. Right, we're going to sing now, again, All I Once Held Dear.
All I once held dear, built my
Over to David now, who's going to do our second reading. I think, is he out? Okay, right. I might read it myself then, in that case. Yep. Okay, so this is Habakkuk 3, continuing, starting at verse 11. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens, at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath you strode through the earth, and in anger you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear you pierced his head, when his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the sheepfold, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So my talk is entitled, Storms and Storming, Yet Rejoicing. Storms and Storming, Yet Rejoicing. Now we call it the Book of Habakkuk, yet actually this is more like just three pages torn out of the prophet's prayer journal. It's very much a snapshot, a particular moment in history captured on a few pages. No explanation of what has gone before, and nothing about what will happen after this prophecy has been fulfilled. We don't get a bigger picture here, really. But what we do get is a snapshot of the dreadful political situation for Judah at this time. We do get a small insight into Habakkuk's feelings about all this and his response to hearing God's revelation. The whole of God's creation is in turmoil and torment. Everything is disordered and not as reliable as previously thought. Sound familiar? The prophet expects the oceans to be in uproar. The seas were often seen as the original powers of chaos in opposition to God. But here we see the age-old mountains also are crumbling. The mountains that we thought would hold firm, they're crumbling. There is plague and pestilence. All the elements of this vision are intended as a reminder to God's people of the awful times they went through when escaping slavery in Egypt. They experienced terrible plagues and pestilence. They had to go through the waters of chaos, both seas and rivers, before they reached the promised land. And indeed, Habakkuk's references to God coming from Teman and Mount Paran are deliberate reminders to his readers of the region of Sinai between Israel and Egypt. Habakkuk's expectation is that God will come from there to bring deliverance for his people as before. And yet, the calamities being described seem relentless. Blow after blow is struck against the earth and its people. Now, in all Shakespeare plays and all Hollywood films, pretty much, things get worse before they get better. We expect the same here. Only in this book, things seem to get worse, then God arrives on the scene and things get even worse, if that were possible, get even worse. One moment there seems to be a very small ray of light and hope, but this seems to get quickly snuffed out by further disasters. At the end of this book, we and the prophet are left hanging. The prophet is left without anything to eat. Yes, Habakkuk has his faith in God, praise the Lord. He is still somehow, miraculously, rejoicing in God. Hallelujah. But he has no idea where his next meal is coming from. Yes, Habakkuk asks big questions of God and gets even bigger answers from God. But what about bigger plans for the future here? The future of God's people is in doubt as we finish this book. Is there any future for a land where crops have failed so drastically? We have to ask a similar question today about our own food security too. After years of plenty, We cannot take our own food security for granted anymore. Now, just this week, I was speaking to our next door neighbor. I have a villa out in Greece, which they've just come back from. Their Greek neighbors were saying that there's a real danger of a disastrous failure of the olive harvest in Greece this year. Now, we probably feel that's not really going to affect us much here. Well, let me tell you about my brother-in-law, who owns a farm in Yorkshire. He sowed a crop of winter barley, I think it was, and that's been completely lost with all the rains in the spring and the flooding. He thought about trying to sow some spring barley instead, a bit later, or another crop. But his land is just too waterlogged, so I think he's decided to leave his land fallow for this year. These kind of stories bring home to us the reality that our food supply is not as reliable as we once thought it was. It brings home, I hope, the reality of the threat of global warming. Now, I have to confess, it's not so easy to preach on global warming during one of our coldest springs for a long time. I know some people will joke that we could do with a bit more global warming right now. And that is quite funny, actually, but on one level. But sadly, the fact that we are experiencing extraordinary cold is not a sign that global warming is going into reverse. No, what it does show is that our global climate systems are getting more mixed up due to global warming. I have one other thing to share this morning from our current situation before we return to Habakkuk. Here's a revelation for the southeast of England, which has been shared by climate scientists in recent years. We've got a photo to show, hopefully. I sent you a photo? Okay, no, don't worry. That photo? You meant that photo? Yeah, okay. that's not been included in the... No, okay, right, yes. Okay, well, it's quite difficult for you to see this, actually, but there we are. That is a projection of the flooding that will happen by 2050. The parts in red are those that will be underwater from 2050. That's quite, as you can see, it's quite an alarming picture. So this is a projection of possible sea rise levels by 2050, given the estimated rate of melting of the Greenland ice cap and the melting of the Antarctic ice sheets. That's given 1.5 meters of sea level rise between now and 2050. Okay, so we're talking about the breadbasket of England being underwater. Peterborough, Skegness, Spalding, Boston, King's Lynn, Wisbeach, and Ely, it seems, will be an island. Now, I'm sure we'll be appalled by this and have all sorts of reactions. You may have seen this already in different papers. It has been published before now. And some people will feel this is scaremongering. Some people will feel this is scaremongering. I understand this reaction. This is, after all, one projection. And who can foretell the future except God? But the truth is, our government, the Labour Party and the SNP have all rowed back on their commitment to tackling global warming recently. The question is anything too costly to avoid this outcome? Is anything too costly to avoid that outcome? What was Habakkuk's response to the impending disaster that he foresaw? He was going to wait to keep trusting and hoping in God's deliverance. His determined faith is a great example for us to try and copy in these days of growing crises. However, I'm sure Habakkuk's fellow believers would have also looked for a practical response as well. Somewhere providing some kind of harvest, some kind of food for their starving families perhaps. What does the Bible have to say about this? There are two models we might look at for how God's people have responded to disastrous famines in the past. Now, it wasn't by people getting obsessive and becoming preppers. You know what I mean by that term? People who collect individual stockpiles of food and other goods. That way is potentially, it is selfishly short-sighted and also leads to disaster. We know this from some of the panic buying that happened during COVID. One biblical model we could look at would be the example of Joseph in Egypt. Remember Joseph in Egypt? He was called by God to stockpile grain during the years of plenty so that the people of Egypt would not starve during the later years of shortage. There is something to be said for this kind of national planning. However, it was a centralized system. The result of this was that the people of Egypt ended up in debt to Pharaoh. The whole nation became slaves to their leaders who liked to style themselves as gods with power over life and death. The second much better model, biblical model, would be the example of the early church in Acts. Starting with the first church in Jerusalem, this fellowship of believers became a local cooperative society. Bear with me here. This was at the same time they were seeing lots of people come to faith. As the book of Acts puts it, they were enjoying the favor of the people of the city. No surprise. This was indeed due to miraculous signs, people being healed. It was also due to people hearing the good news of Jesus, how he'd been raised from the dead. But it was also thanks to the amazing level of sharing of wealth and mutual support within that community. Not long after Acts 2 and 4, we also see this sharing model working again on an international scale. In Acts 11, the prophet Agabus warns the church in Antioch of a huge famine that is coming soon. So they are moved to send a gift to their fellow believers in Jerusalem to help them through this time of need. This is something similar to what we will do soon during Christian Aid Week and what we've already done recently in sending money to help the people of Gaza. How do we respond as believers in times of emergency? In times like those experienced by Habakkuk? In times like those that are most likely coming in the years ahead for large parts of the world and possibly the UK also? The early church shows us there is a miraculous strength in togetherness, in collective sharing, in a system of mutual aid and generosity founded on the first generosity of our gracious God. This is a vision of the church which I believe we need to be exploring in these days of crisis. The early church is indeed a great example for us, not just for its miracles and its preaching, but in its practical care for neighbours and for all of creation. There's plenty of food for thought for us from the experiences of early Christians, Celtic saints, and indeed the example of early Anabaptist communities. But let's return to the example of Habakkuk to finish. What Habakkuk found was what the Apostle Paul also discovered. Paul discovered the secret of being content in each and every situation. He was, by God's grace, able to be content when he had little or nothing, and able to be content when he experienced times of plenty likewise. Now, no doubt, during those times of plenty, Paul was sharing this plenty with those around him and those in need. Like Habakkuk, Paul was able to rejoice in God despite everything. When Paul and Silas were severely beaten for preaching the good news and thrown in the darkest dungeon, what do we find them doing? We find them singing praise to God. Hallelujah. And here is Habakkuk. Even though there are no buds on his fig tree, no grapes on the vine, no olive oil, no sheep at all, no cattle on his farm, even though there are no crops anywhere in sight in his fields, yet he is still rejoicing in the Lord. This is nothing short of miraculous. Habakkuk declares, "I will be joyful in God, my Saviour." He goes on, "The Sovereign Lord, the one who reigns over all things, this God is my strength. My great and gracious God not only allows me to keep putting one foot in front of the other, not only does God help me to keep going, my God helps me to tread on the heights, to go further than I thought possible, to rise above each disaster, and to join others in becoming an overcomer in the direst of circumstances." Let me quote St. Paul as we finish. Romans 8 declares, "We are more than overcomers through Christ who loves us and loved us." Now we might be surprised that Paul doesn't write here, "through Christ who overcame death for us." No. What matters most in all the good news is that God's love in Christ will overcome on behalf of all creation. Love is the power that overcomes everything. No surprise here that these verses conclude an earlier passage which, like Habakkuk's vision, see the earth in agony, writhing in suffering and pain, the earth in the pains of childbirth. So let's pray for a miraculous faith like Habakkuk and Paul. Let's believe God to give us the hope we need in these days. Let's ask God for hearts which are filled with love for our neighbours and all creation. Let's pray for a bigger vision of what God is calling his church to do in 2024 and beyond. Thanks be to God. Amen. Before we pray together, we're going to sing a hymn which is based on the Lord's Prayer. So this is our This is us turning to the Lord in prayer after reading the book of Habakkuk, which is like I said, it's a disturbing read, but it's one that we need to take on board. But let's pray now. Father God in heaven, hear our prayer. Mindful that this week local elections are taking place across the UK, let us pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, ruler of all, servant of all, we pray again for the kingdoms and rulers of this world, that those in powers and in positions of authority may use their power in the service of their people and for the good of all. Servant King, may your love reign supreme. We pray for those who take counsel together on behalf of nations, all those who carry the responsibility of leadership. Grant them wisdom in all their decisions, humility to listen to the point of view of others, courage to stand up for what is right, and a determination to work for justice and peace. Servant King, may your love reign supreme. We think of our country and we pray for the royal family and especially our king and queen at this time. We thank you for the dedication to duty they have shown through this difficult time they've been through recently. Grant them your guidance, discernment, strength and inspiration. Servant King, may your love reign supreme. We pray for our government and members of parliament. We pray for our local councils, local councillors, and we give thanks once more for the service they give. Guide them in their decisions, and give them a proper sense of the responsibility entrusted to them. Help them to work not just for personal or party interest, but for the good of all. Servant King, may your love reign supreme. We pray for all who strive to build a fairer society and a better world. Those who campaign against poverty, injustice, and exploitation. who work for peace and reconciliation, who offer healing to body, mind, or spirit, to serve the needy. Encourage them in their work. Support them in their adversity. Provide the resources they need, and make known your love through their ministry. Servant King, may your love reign supreme. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that your kingdom may come, despite everything that seems to fight against it. A kingdom in which the first are last and the last first, in which everything that frustrates your purpose and denies your love is defeated, and in which all can live together in justice and harmony. Servant King, may your love reign supreme. Now, Lord Jesus Christ, servant King and shepherd of your sheep, we pray now in the quiet for all those who are on our hearts and minds today, within our fellowship and beyond. Heavenly Father, we thank you for hearing all our prayers. In the name of Jesus, amen. So our closing hymn, Come and See the Shining Hope. For our blessing this morning, I'm going to read to us the last few words from a hymn from this book, A Heart for Creation. Heavenly Father, teach us good care, grace to seek pardon, reclaim your garden, riches to share. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.